We're going to get started this morning. Eddie has, Eddie looks like he stole one of my messages here, but that's okay. I stole it from Kenny originally, so we just pass it around. All right, who would, Ashley, you're standing, causing trouble. Morning, Charlie. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Great.
Would you open this up, please? Spring ready.
Today, Father, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful morning you've given to us. And Lord, just bless all the people who have come here today, Lord, just to learn more about you. And thank you so much for Eddie and what you've taught him, Lord, and just help him as he teaches us that we'll understand and take it to heart.
Right. Okay, so anyways, I'm going to be speaking in First Colossians, and I'm just going to give you a little background. During No, it's Colossians 1. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I'm old school. During Paul's 3-year ministry in Ephesus, Epaphras had been converted and had carried the gospel to Colossae. The young church that resulted then became the target of heretical attack, which led Epaphras to visit Paul in Rome and ultimately to the writing of the Colossian letter. Paul's purpose for the letter was to refute the Colossian heresy or heresies and to commend and encourage the young church. Now, I'm going to read it for you real quick. Colossians 1, verse 3 to 14. We always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up in you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I know that was a lot I read there, but as I read this, I started praying, and the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart to break down, if you will, the beginning of this letter in the four areas that Paul mentioned to the Colossians. And those were faith, love, hope, and joy. Like I had mentioned, that guy was talking, as weird as he was, he was talking about how Paul talked about faith, love, and hope. These virtues mentioned by Paul seem to be important for the church, but as I looked at our church today, I can see that these were vital. Let's look at the areas a little bit more closely. In verse 4, it says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And what I did is I prayed and I thought of these four virtues, and like Pastor Don always likes to challenge us a lot, and Kenny. First of all, what is faith? So I went to the Bible and got its definition. It's in Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is belief with strong conviction. I mean, when we have faith in the Lord, when certain circumstances arise or you run into, let's just say, a Jehovah Witness or something like that, we put our faith to the test, don't we? It's like we're not going to allow anybody to deter our faith in the Lord. And that's the kind of attitude we got to have with our faith in order for it to grow and be strong, because God knows that the devil's going to bring things our way, right? There's going to be trials and testing. And sometimes people get confused and think, well, how could God allow this to happen? You know, there's always good in whatever God does. It might not seem good to us at the time if we're going through a hard time, but it's to build our faith and endurance for life to come, because you know that whatever we experience in life at one time or another, we're going to be able to share that with somebody, aren't we? And they're usually going through the same thing. And I just look at that as just being so awesome that God would do that so that we can test our faith and say, hey, you know, brother, I was there, or hey, sister, I was there at one time, and I thought that this and that, and nothing was going to, you know, and then I leaned upon the Lord and His word and His people, and I got through it. You know, look where I am today. You know, I think about that, like Fred and Esther, man. Saw them on Facebook, man. They're at the Renaissance, man. I was thinking, man, Fred, did you ever picture yourself at that Renaissance Center? That place was nice. I mean, if you look back where you came from, you'd have never thought you'd be there, you know? I didn't think I would be here. Or I like Ray Maldonado a lot, man. I remember when that brother first came to the church, man. Years later, he thought, man, I thought I'd never be in church. Remember with the tattoo on his head and everything? You know he was in a defensive mode. Because I remember Donna had a word from God for him that first day. And she was nervous. She came up to me and she said, Eddie, I really feel that the Lord wants me to speak something to Ray. I said, well, go speak to him. She goes, by myself? I said, all right, I'll go with you. He did look a little scary. He had those funny glasses on, but, man, I just kept looking at that tattoo on his head like, this guy. Carmen told me this guy was in prison. I don't know. But, no, it all worked out, amen? And look at our brother today. Firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof. Complete trust in or devotion to. Faith is probably the single most important element of the Christian life. As we read in Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So see, as we go through those hard times and it seems like there's no way out, like this is a crashing, burning plane, we got to remember that we got to put our faith in God. You know what I mean? Whatever His will is, that's the point we got to come to. Have that much faith. Because I'm going to tell you right now, and I hope I don't get thrown out of the church for this, but I've always felt this in my heart. Because, you know, Jesus was a man, just like we're flesh, right? He was filled with God to the utmost. But when He got into that garden and He knew what was up ahead, whoo! Hey, is there any other way? I mean, you're the man. You're the man. Is there any other way? You know? But then that Holy Spirit took over His flesh and everything, and He said, not my will, but Your will be done. And from that moment on, there was no stopping Him. He was going to the end. Amen? And we got to have that same kind of faith. You know, Jesus' faith was in His Father. Just think of all the miraculous things that He did in that one time ever. You can read that whole Bible. Not one time ever did He give Himself the glory, did He? He says, it's my Father. And that's what we got to do. That's the attitude we got to have. You know, I do this or I did that because of my Father. You know? The second virtue was love. In verse 4, as it continued, it says, and of the love you have for all God's people. What do most people think love is? A feeling? I wrote here, a feeling. You know, all warm and fuzzy inside. They think it is some kind of barometer that they can measure by. And here's the ironic thing. If you do right by me, I'll always love you. But if you don't, I hate you the next day. Don't want to talk to you, don't answer your calls. Okay. You know, don't you love that when you text somebody? I don't really like texting, but I'm trying to get in today's world. So you text somebody something real nice and they're like, okay. What's that mean, man? K? I didn't even get an OK. I just got K. What the heck? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right? For the Christian, it is more than that. It is a lifestyle.
That has to be part of our lifestyle. And how many know, let's be honest here, as I'm looking at Sammy. Is it that easy to love all the time? And hold it.
Put hands on them, elders, hurry. No, it's hard. Because a lot of times we let that emotional part of love get in the way, don't we? That becomes our barometer. You know, like, I'm not going to love him, man. He don't even say hi to me. He just says, okay. You know, why should I give him the time of day? I'd be like, I. You know, we got to be able to get control of those emotions. God gave them to us, and they're great to have, but they shouldn't lead our life, amen? The Spirit should lead our life.
The true meaning of love, I'm going to have my wife read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8.
Get those glasses out, honey. We don't want no heresy. Yes.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Amen. Love never fails. I feel right there that God had given us his personal definition of love. Amen. Even Jesus left no doubt on his Father's interpretation of love and the importance of it to be in our lives. He was, if you remember in Mark 12:30, he was approached by some scholar or something, and he asked them, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
That's awesome, isn't it? I mean, we're to love God with everything that we have. But yet Jesus said, just as important as that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And nobody hates themselves. At least I hope not. Sammy.
We know.
Prophecy. No, we're to love. God's commanded us to love. Just as much as we love God and we want to give all we have to the Lord, it's no different from our brothers and sisters. Amen? That's right, brother. Enjoy it. I had to give them some ups. You know what I'm saying? They are number one, by the way. So, yeah, I'm about to get Cody in a minute here. Recite Revelation chapter 21.
All right, in verse 5, it says, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up. So hope was the next virtue. Most people understand hope as wishful thinking, like, I hope I hit the lottery. Or here's a favorite of Cody's. See, Cody, you grab the bull by the horns, buddy. Here's Cody. Do you think she likes me? I hope so. I hope so. To the true Christian, it is a confident expectation, brother.
We love you, but you're on your own.
Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God's word is truth and life, not just life, but eternal life. Titus 1:2 says, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time.
That was promised to us. Pastor Don was at my house a few weeks ago, and he was, isn't he always testing us? Of course, my wife and I failed. But he was like, Well, I don't want to quote you out of context here, brother, but it was like. No, no. Oh, no, that one. Hey, brother, you were on your own on that one. We got attacked by wasp at his house. Pastor Don didn't know what was going on. I left him. As I was shutting his door, I said, wasp! And locked the door. He's out there going. I got to get over that fear, brother. But, no, anyways, he told me, he asked us, does God love everybody? Or is everybody called? You know, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, you know. No, and he starts quoting all these scriptures, you know. Why do I fall into that trap every time, you know? But it's good, you know, he teaches us. But it says here that he promised from the beginning of time. So my wife and I were sitting there pondering after he left. It's like, wow, what a privilege and an honor that if we were chosen by the Lord, we get all these promises. You know, we're promised eternal life. You know, that's what we can rest our hope in. You know, nothing that, I mean, not that it isn't important down here that, you know, we're about our Father's business to do what we can, the most we can, because our time here is short, and we never know the day, the time, or the hour. We should live every day like our last, because you never know. You're not promised tomorrow. Amen? But the fact of the matter is we can rest our hope in Him to know that when the end does come, we're going to be with Him. And I'm going to have lunch with David. You again?
I was thinking about when Pastor asked us that question. As he began to talk, I began to weep because yeah. I was like I felt like I got saved all over again because you realize, my gosh, like, what if I wouldn't have been chosen? Like, I felt like a princess. Like, oh, my gosh, he chose me, you know, and it's a reality hit me. Even though I always knew, it's just something, he did something in the spirit, and it was like, I'm so thankful that he chose me, and he chose everyone here, you know, and it's like, and we get to be a part of that inheritance forever.
Amen.
What an honor.
Amen. It says, because of God's grace and mercy and his love for us, we can have a hope in him and his word that can't be shaken or doubted. And see, I think of that. No matter what may happen, you know, like I think right away of like Steve with his mom with the cancer and that. And, you know, God forbid, but if it does happen that she passes away, you know, at least she's given her life to the Lord. You know what I mean? And I'll never forget Lisa, you know. They used to go to our church here, and she wound up with cancer, and the doctors had only given her a couple of months, and she wound up living 7 years. They weren't the greatest 7 years. I mean, she went through a lot. But the fact of the matter is that my wife and her were like best friends, and she got 7 more years with her, and they even grew closer in that 7 years than they had been all up until that point, you know? And so you got to thank God for that. And then plus, as Christians, because we have that hope and we have a future, we know that she's not suffering anymore. Amen? She's up there having lunch with David.
Verse 12, we jump all the way down to verse 12. And giving joyful thanks to the Father, joy. What is joy? Well, true joy is a gift from God. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The joy that the world offers is temporary and unstable. It only shows itself in people when things in life are going good. When trials or overwhelming circumstances happen, the joy is gone.
And I mean, that can happen to us on occasion, but again, because we have the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, and we see somebody going through a hard time, we know it's hard. I mean, I just started off by saying that God's given us emotions, so sometimes we can fall prey to those emotions, and it's not bad. I mean, Jesus wept, you know. He felt bad. But the fact of the matter is, after a little bit of time, he went back to work, didn't he? And that's what we got to do. So when we're going through a hard time, it could be a death or whatever, a loss of a job, whatever. The fact of the matter is, it's not bad to feel bad, but we shouldn't stay in that mode, you know what I mean? We're supposed to profess the joy of the Lord in all circumstances. In all circumstances. It's easy to be joyful when things are going good. You know, that's not an issue. You know, I always say that here in the church. Yeah, we can stay out there and hallelujah, praise God, jump around. Yeah, we're amongst our brothers and sisters. But when we go out into the world, do we have that same kind of affection, that excitement, that joy? Sammy, I already know you do.
God's gift of joy can be seen in good times as well as not so good times. His word tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus when the storms come. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and protector, a perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It is pretty easy to have and show joy when you feel that life is great. The Lord wants us to show that same joyful attitude, and he wants to test us for his glory. Amen. In James 1, 2-3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." And see, that's what I think of. Every time we go through a hard situation or a hard time, you got to know that God is on the other side. You know what I mean? And the way I kind of think of that the most is I think about like our grandkids. Remember when they were first learning how to walk? You know, they'd be like, and you're like, and then boom, they fall, right? And you're like, oh, you know, and they scrape their knee or whatever. They start crying. But the fact of the matter is you go and you love on them. You wash up their little cut or whatever. And the next thing you know it, they're joyful again. They're out playing around again, right? And that's the attitude we got to have. You know, we are going to run into bumps and situations and trials and things that we're not happy with, you know, but the fact of the matter is that's what God has put in store for you, you know. And we all have a different walk, you know. We all have the same beliefs, the same desires, but God has a different path for each and every one of us, you know. Like, did you ever think that you'd be working at an automotive company? Seriously? No.
Well, you were, I thought you worked at Chrysler.
Ooh. Hey, that's what I say, brother. As long as I get the check. No, but here, not only is he working there, but he was put into what you could say a place of authority. He's a team leader, and he still is professing God every chance he gets. So, see, you take what the Lord gives you, you use the tools that he's equipped you with, and you run with it. You run with it. And I've only got 2 minutes here, but one thing I really wanted to share, and Fred, I think this is like the 10th time I've said it, but it's just a testimony in my life that when Fred was first coming to this church, but it just inspires me, brother. I'm sorry. It just inspires me. Fred was just coming to the church, and he was just starting to get comfortable here, and, you know, he went about his business at work, construction site, so, you know, that's just as bad as a factory. And they started ridiculing and making fun of him, you know, and started throwing these questions out there. And Fred just started ripping scriptures that he shut these guys' mouths right up. And he come back and told Pastor Don, "I've never even read that before." That's the power of our Father, amen? When he wants something done, ain't no stopping it. You know, ain't no stopping it. And I'm sorry, brother, that I shared that, but that's just an inspiration in my heart to know that God can do things. When it seems impossible, it's possible for the Lord. Amen?
Our joy can give hope to the hopeless, peace to the worriers, and comfort to those in need.
That's why we need the joy in all circumstances. Because even though we may be going through a hard time, there might be someone at work or right at the store or something that they're going through a hard time. But in our hard time, we're assured that the God is going to get us through us. Amen? They might not know the Lord. They might be thinking hopelessness. You see? And so that's why we always got to carry that joy to say, hey, look, I'm going through a hard time too, but do you know about Jesus? He's the overcomer, right? He's the protector. He's the provider. He can help you. That's who you need to lean on, because right now you're thinking there's nothing. There's nothing. You know, that's why we got to be ready to have that joy all the time. I mean, if we're sitting there complaining and groveling, do you think they want to hear about what you got to say? No. They're thinking, man, he's no better than I am. You know? And he's supposed to be a Christian.
We got to give them a hope and a joy and a faith and a love that will get them through and bring them over to the kingdom of God. Amen. In closing, as I studied these four areas or virtues of God's giftings, I can see why Paul spoke of these in his letter, especially because of the sin that was going on in that young church. And a lot of times we know that one bad apple can spoil a bushel, amen? It's the reason why a lot of churches get split today. Some of it's heretical teaching. Others is just being evil, gossiping, tearing down the leadership, dividing the church. I mean, in the Bible, it speaks about that. That's detestable to the Lord. Paul did right by reminding the Colossians who they were and what they were and what they, as Christians, stood for. Just like the Colossians, we too need to be reminded by God's word who we are in Him and what we stand for as His people. My prayer is that we all become stronger and more active in these four virtues of faith, love, hope, and joy. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm done. Amen. Quarter two.
Who would you like to close it?
Well, I don't get too many shots. Have Pastor Don do it.
Okay.
Look at him. Wasp!
Cody, I'll take care of you, brother. Okay, I got your back.
For a small fee.
Eddie, very good teaching this morning. Outstanding. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for men and women that you are raising up, that are you've equipped to bring it forth, and to bring it forth in anointing and in power, and, Lord, to break it down and make it relevant towards our lives. And we pray, Father, that these words that Eddie ministered today, Lord, that they would be life unto us. Now, Father, we just close here today. We pray for the service. We ask that as we go forward, our hearts are ready to worship you, Lord, that that's the whole reason that we come here today. We give you thanks for what you're doing in our lives. Continue to build your kingdom. Continue to reveal your Son. Continue to mature us and conform us into the image of your Son. And, Father, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.